Welcome to the Smiles Matter podcast by Microdental Laboratories. I'm Laura Kelly, and I'm pleased to host our series, Winning Strategies for Today's Dental Practice.
You really have to understand the basics, and you're not going to do that over the phone or on a Zoom. You got to get your hands dirty. I mean, I got good with composite. Why? Because I took how many composite courses hands-on at AACD, right? And then I went home and practiced on plastic teeth. It didn't just happen. I didn't wake up and I was good at composites. I mean, I worked. And it's the same thing with a camera. When Eduardo and Jesus left my office, I took photos of everything. I never put my camera down.
Photography plays a significant role in dentistry, primarily in the areas of diagnosis, treatment planning, documentation, and communication. With the rise of social media as a marketing tool in the dental profession, creative and skilled photography has become a valuable asset, especially for dentists that have invested the time to master the art of clinical photography. To review how photography can be used as a strategic tool to support the success of a dental practice, we have an incredible expert with us today. I am pleased to introduce Dr. Andamo Notarantonio, who has made a mark not just as an exemplary clinician, but also as an accomplished photographer who has pushed the boundaries of traditional dental photography. Dr. Andamo is a graduate of the Stony Brook School of Dental Medicine, was accredited by the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry in 2012, where he has also received his fellowship in 2018. He is one of the select few that have achieved this esteemed honor worldwide. In 2016, Dr. Andamo was awarded the AACD's Rising Star Award and was recently appointed Accreditation Chairman of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. Dr. Andamo is a graduate of the Coise Center, where he studied under Dr. John Coise and has also completed the Dawson Academy core curriculum. He has received his fellowship in the International Congress of Oral Implantology and has been published in multiple dental journals and lectures nationally and internationally on topics such as CAD-CAM dentistry, implant dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, and dental photography. Dr. Andamo also volunteers his time at the NYU College of Dentistry as a clinical instructor in the Honors Aesthetics program. Enjoy the conversation and remember to leave us a review. Welcome, Andamo. Thank you for joining us.
Of course, my pleasure always.
Yeah. Well, gosh, this is such an exciting topic. You know, we've known each other for a few years now, right? Through the AACD. Do you remember when we first met?
Oh, man, it's got to be many years ago now. I mean, I joined in 07. I became accredited in 11 and I started on the board shortly thereafter. So it has to be around that time.
Yeah, you're right. I remember just, you know, you're such a this force, you know, when you joined and became accredited and started getting involved in leadership. This guy's he's focused. He's on purpose. You know, you could tell right away.
Well, I don't know if that was voluntary, Laura. You know, I was a little pushed in that direction to you need to get on leadership. So, you know, our mentors that we look up to kind of, you could call it guiding or you could call it persuading you to join leadership. And then the train never ended.
Yeah. And then you were president what year?
I am going to be president next year. I am currently president-elect.
See, there you go. That's I knew it was very, very soon. Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations. Well, I think that's going to make everybody feel really good to have you president of the world's largest cosmetic dentistry organization. And with the longevity and the history and the accreditation and fellowship, we know it's close to our heart. It's just an amazing organization with great people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you. But what we're super pumped up today is to find out a little bit more about, you've got a lot of things that are very unique about you, but we want to talk about something specifically related to photography because it's a really hot topic. But before we jump into that, I'm always interested in how people get involved in dentistry. You know, maybe where they were exposed to it or, you know, what inspired them. Can you just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in dental?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I actually had, I don't want to say no desire. I just didn't know much about the dentist. I mean, my parents are from Italy, first generation, and my dad was 17 when he came here. My mom was 12. And I mean, I didn't go for recall appointments. My parents weren't like, oh, you need to go to the dentist. They didn't, unless I broke my face, which happened once. That's the only time I went to the dentist. So it really wasn't on my radar as a career path. And it wasn't until after college, when I graduated college, I didn't really have any direction either on what I wanted to do. I played professional soccer for a little bit and realized I wasn't going to get rich doing that here because I was already past my prime at 22 years old. And I had a good friend of mine. He was my big brother in my fraternity house in college, was a first year at NYU. And he knew he wanted to be a dentist. He knew he wanted to be an oral surgeon from the day I met him. And he was at NYU and I was doing nothing really with my life. And he was like, you should apply to dental school. And I did. I didn't know what a mirror was when I got into school. I didn't know what amalgam was. I never heard of an explorer. So I went to dental school with no background in dentistry whatsoever. I really got in because in the meantime, while I was home, my father and mother obviously made me go to work. And my dad had this brilliant idea of making me pick up garbage for a living to realize that he wanted me to work with my head and not my behind. And it worked, because I did that for about 15 months. And I tip my garbage men very well, because it's the most difficult job that God ever created, in my opinion. So that's how I ended up in dental school. I applied to NYU and Stony Brook. I got into NYU. I was waitlisted at Stony Brook, and I was determined to get in. So I went to the admissions office every day at 3 o'clock and begged the lady to take me off the waitlist. And I got in on the very last day.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. I love your dad. What a great, you know, parenting tool, you know?
Yeah, he had some interesting punishments as a child, but they were very effective. I never forgot them, you know? So back then I would maybe have yelled child abuse, even though it was not. I'm like, this is crazy, but I got his point. I got his point a lot. And those lessons have stuck with me ever since.
That's great. That's, I mean, they have so proud of you. I'm sure your parents, you know, seen what you've accomplished.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you went into dental school with eyes wide open, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And NYU is an amazing school. I know we both have friends there. So that makes a lot of sense why you came out and then hitting the ground running, boy. So how did photography start to, you know, get into your head connected to dentistry? Where did you make that connection?
You know, I got lucky in my first associateship. I got into a fee-for-service office, and my boss at the time, who later became a partner, he was very, very into technology and very advanced. I mean, he had CEREC when it was, I think, in 94 when it first came out. So it was always on top of things, and he was a Dawson Academy graduate. So photography was pretty instilled with me, but basic photography, you know, just for patient communication, a little lab communication, nothing fancy. And then I would say that accreditation definitely got me a lot more interested because, you know, as you know, the photos have to be such good quality, framed well, no adjustments, no cropping, no anything. So you really learn how to take really good clinical photos, I think, with proper lighting, with accreditation. So that's how I really got started on it. My artistic craze didn't start till I got involved in social media. And I started Instagram back in 2015. I had no social media accounts, and all I did was post before and afters. And I kept seeing photos from these two doctors from Venezuela, and they were just mind-boggling. I never saw teeth look like that. So I contacted them and I said, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to fly you to New York. You're going to stay in my home and you're going to go to my office with me for 3 days and you're going to teach me everything you know. And they happily accepted. So maybe I'm nuts for inviting two strangers from Venezuela to my house, but I did it. And we became the best of friends. My photography went from a D minus to an A in about 10 seconds with them. And they really were my driving factor that opened up my creative mind. And shortly thereafter, I started doing, you know, lip art before lip art was fun. So it just exploded from there.
Well, I think that's a pretty great idea, you know, to invite people to your home and to your office that inspire you and you saw their work and jumping right in and getting involved in Instagram that early. That was definitely new for dental as well, right?
Yeah, it was not a very popular thing back then. I mean, it's gotten crazy over the last, you know, 7-8 years. It's been super effective. I mean, for me in my career, both with educating and patient care. I mean, I get a boatload of referrals from social media, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And we've had you, I mean, we've had you come out and do some courses with us out in California. And I think affectionately we call it, what is it? The Three Amigos? I think that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys are so close and so talented. And
yeah, me and Eduardo and Jesus.
Yeah,
they're just fantastic. They're amazing, and I don't see them as much as we used to do, like 4 or 5 courses a year. And now they both left Venezuela because of the situation there. So Eduardo's in Mexico, and Jesus is in Madrid.
Okay.
So getting together is a little tough. We do one a year now in Vegas, usually in October. And you know, with everybody else's schedule, I mean, my teaching schedule is insane right now. So I don't even know if I would have the time to do anymore, to be honest.
The format that you put together is so effective, right? You have the 3 different stations, and you know, the people are just so excited. I know when I've seen, you know, what type of photography you're teaching them to do. But what I'm interested in as well is, because your photography is beyond accreditation photography, right? Like, we both have been exposed to that from an examiner standpoint, and you know, being accredited, and that's, I mean, it's amazing when you see your case, and you know, whether you're looking at it, you know, in the mouth, or we're looking at it, you know, on a lab bench, and then you photograph it and you put it up on a screen. You know, you just notice things so much differently. But what you've done is you're adding this artistic, creative element that is very unique. And I'm wondering how that came to play, where you get your inspiration, and how is the creative process for you? Do you just wake up in the middle of the night with some idea? Hey, I want to have blue lips and smoke coming out of the, I'm going to put crystals
here. It's funny.
But yeah, if you could just explain where your inspiration and the creativity, the process, I'm really interested in that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's twofold. There are days that I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I want to shoot this, or I see something and I want to recreate that, or put my own little spin on that. I also am very blessed to work with a couple of really creative makeup artists. And that's been a huge help for me, even clinically, because with the referral, like I take the photos, and I have my little cousin, the videographer, so he makes videos with music, and we post it and they post it. And people are like, oh my God, who's that photographer? And when they say it's their dentist, who do they, you know, do their makeup on? Mainly it's brides. So they want their teeth done. They want photos done. I don't do too many bridal shoots. You know, I don't have time for that, but I do enjoy, you know, doing the stuff with the makeup artist. And I'll just say, hey, like, we did a photo shoot 2 nights ago for 4th of July, and I found some stuff that I like, and I gave my makeup artist about 4 pictures. I'm like, figure something out, or let's do something with this and air this. And when she showed up, I was like, oh my God. I mean, wigs and sunglasses and makeup, it's pretty insane. So I do have my own stuff. Most of the lip art I come up with myself, but I definitely have an awesome team of makeup artists who, you know, they'll even say, hey, I have this idea I want to do. And I'm like, all right, I got the model. Come to the office Tuesday night at 8, and we shoot after hours for a couple hours. So it's definitely a team effort on the creativity side, but they're a real pleasure to work with.
Yeah. I mean, I love it because, I mean, I think it's almost like, you know, it's high fashion, and you talk about the lips. I mean, it's so edgy and creative and beautiful. I think it's just a very unique approach that you've developed. So if you know, anybody's listening that you need to, how can they see your work? They go to what is your Instagram on?
So my Instagram, and I have a website with all my artwork stuff and, you know, my upcoming CE events and stuff, is AdamoElvis.com, or my Instagram is AdamoElvis.
Great. And it's not because you think you're Elvis. It's because Elvis is actually your middle name.
Yes. I don't think anybody could think they're Elvis. He was just too talented. But yes, Elvis is my middle name for real.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You have to do it because it just makes you look at dental in a completely different way. You know, it's, you know, health, right, and function and beauty, but adding this artistic element to it is super fun. And I love it. I love everything. I sit there and stare when they come through. I went, oh my goodness, where did this one come from? This is incredible. So, you know, clinically, and the photography and people seeing you on Instagram, and I know you mentioned, you know, you do get a lot of referrals. You know, some things are attainable and some things aren't, right? Maybe you just don't have those lips, or you don't have, right? That's just not going to work for you, but they love it, right? And they're like, you've got them like connected to you. And talk about how you have those kind of conversations.
You know, I don't get too many people who come and say, I want to be one of your Instagram models after, but I do get a lot of referrals from Instagram that are like, I want my veneers to look like that, or I want my teeth to look like that. So I try to balance my posts with clinical dentistry and artistic. I used to do a lot more artistic than I did clinical. And now it's starting to go a little of the other way, which is not a bad thing. So in the sense of having the conversation, you know, when we have conversations with patients in general, you have to have that realistic conversation, because when their expectations are so above and beyond what you physically can do for them, it makes our job difficult. And I know there are times when, I mean, I thought I'm Superman sometimes, and there's no patient I can't satisfy. And in hindsight, I probably should have learned the best word I ever learned not too long ago. And that's no, because you can't, right? So I've had one patient, I remember, this was a funny story. She messaged me on Instagram. She needed full upper arch implants in the posterior and then an anterior bridge. And she was from Maryland. So when she told me the town she was from, I messaged her. I said, listen, my mentor is 8 minutes from you. Please go see him. You don't want to drive 5.5 hours. And her response was, I already looked him up. He doesn't have Instagram. And I want to be a photo shoot when we're done. And she drove 5.5 hours for about 9 months till we did her whole mouth, or upper arch, I should say. And sure enough, on her last visit, she came back for post-op photos. I had a makeup artist there and we did a shoot with her. And she literally had me do her dentistry just because she wanted that on Instagram.
Wow. That's a commitment.
Yeah. I mean, I told her she was nuts, but you know, I get it. But you know, I said, get the work done and come up. I'll do the photo shoot anyway. But
yeah,
she connected with me through that artistic side. I think a lot of my patients enjoy seeing that.
Right.
But they don't come with the expectation of, oh my God, I want makeup. Some will ask, and I mean, or I'll ask them, I'll be like, hey, do you want to do a shoot after? Because I'll set it up. And some of them will say, yeah, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And has there been any sort of advancements or developments or things to look out for in regards to model releases and things like this when you are doing things on Instagram?
I have a photo release form that actually a friend gave me, an attorney wrote it up. So it's pretty foolproof. I don't mess around with that. I just make sure it's all.
Yep. So know, no issues there. You got that lock and
sign. No, you know, and people, when they're coming to do makeup shoots with me, like most of them are my assistants or, you know, a couple of patients here and there or staff or friends. They know what they're coming for. They know their face is going to be all over social media. So it's not even a discussion. You know, I don't even, at this point, it's like, yeah, well, they want to be on, or they love the photos and they don't care. So.
Right. Right. And also in regards to, I'm sure, obviously equipment, you know, has advanced so much, right, from the early years when it comes to photography. Tell me about that, you know, how important that is and how you stay abreast of what's going to give you the results that you want.
You know, I think it's funny because that's a double-edged sword in a way, because yes, there are, you know, when the mirrorless thing started, I was one of the first to buy a mirrorless camera. And do they take amazing photos? Yeah, I mean, they're unbelievable. But you have to find what application. I personally don't love mirrorless cameras for intraoral dental photography. I think it's much more difficult to frame photos with mirrorless than it is a DSLR. That being said, when I do my artistic photos, I mean, mirrorless is amazing. Does DSLR take gorgeous pictures? Yeah, I mean, most of it has to do with the lighting. But, you know, as a newbie and an excited person, I bought everything you could think of. I have every flash system. I have every body. I have every lens. I use like two or three, and the others collect dust. And I think, you know, that's a big mistake, is everyone thinks, oh, I got to buy the best lights and this and that. And I mean, I have a patient who's a food photographer, and she wanted to bring her strobes to my office for a photo shoot, and they were $10,000 a clip. And I was like, you're not bringing them here, because if they break, I ain't paying you for them. So, but I've never seen them, and I want to see them because I can't possibly fathom how, I mean, I have $500 lights, maybe $1,000 at best. What does a $10,000 light look like? I mean, is it really that different? So maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. I don't do photography at the level that maybe she does or others do, you know, for Vogue and so on and so forth. But I think my pictures are pretty nice, and I use pretty straightforward cheap, you know, not cheap lighting, but average and best lighting. I think it has to do with the art, the eye, the framing, how you position the light and so on and so forth. So yeah, equipment keeps coming out, more expensive stuff keeps coming out. But the reality is do you really need all that? And I say the answer is no. I mean, I can shoot a good picture with any camera. As long as I have a decent light, I can make it work. So I think
that's one of the top questions you probably get too. I know we get it a lot at the lab is, you know, what camera should I buy? You know, what camera should I buy?
Of course.
So So it's probably like anything else. It's the camera in the operator's hand. You know, you have to have something good and decent, but it's.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the quotes we use in our lectures, even Amanda and I, is it's not the arrow, it's the archer. I mean, I could physically send somebody my camera, and if they don't understand what they're doing, they're not going to take photos like I take photos. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, I don't need a $5,000 camera to take a beautiful picture. I've done it with $800 cameras or $500 cameras. It's just understanding the basic principles, the lighting, and what you're trying to do.
No, and that, and actually that kind of leads into my next thought I wanted to ask you, is if there was obviously dentists out there that are listening and people that get inspired by your photos and what you do, you know, what advice, you know, would you give to someone who wanted to sort of upgrade their photography skills?
I mean, for me, and I preach this with Impress with Amanda and always, everything for me is hands-on, Laura. I mean, go take a class. You know, the issue I have with some, or I shouldn't say the issue, the frustration I have with some people is they'll buy a camera from wherever and the company presets it or the person presets it, but they don't understand, well, what happens if the picture's bad? You can't go from one preset to the other for a little minor adjustment. You really have to understand the basics, and you're not going to do that over the phone or on a Zoom. You know, you got to get your hands dirty. I mean, I got good with composite. Why? Because I took how many composite courses hands-on at the AACD? Right. Mm-hmm. And then I went home and practiced on plastic teeth. It didn't just happen. I didn't wake up and I was good at composite. I mean, I worked. And it's the same thing with a camera. When Eduardo and Jesus left my office, I took photos of everything. I never put my camera down. I mean, I was trying to do a shoot a day. I didn't care. I just wanted to be really good. So I think that's the advice I would give them, is you have to take a class. You have to go hands-on. There's so many good photography classes out there that, you know, but until you are taught it and then you physically practice, and the key is you have to go home and continue. I mean, how many people do we know go to CE, they're all fired up, and then Monday morning they don't do anything because they get busy, and then they forgot everything that, you know, they don't harness the skill. I notice it in all the classes that I teach. I mean, there's a handful that you start to see what they post that, oh my God, look, Monday morning they went back and they did it. Then they did it Tuesday, yeah, and Wednesday and Thursday. If you don't go practice, especially with photography or your clinical skills, you're never going to get good.
Right. Yeah. Developing new habits takes some commitment and repetition.
Of course.
Right? And
of
learning course. And, you know, you just keep adjusting and moving forward.
Yep.
Yep. You're right. You know, and in regards to, you know, working with a lab, right? We know, you know, there's the patient, the dentist, and then the laboratory technician fabricating the case. What's changed maybe the way that you utilize mm-hmm. photography in that communication to get the results that you want for your patient?
Well, it's funny you say that, Laura, because I'm very open with labs I use, with labs technicians I use or I have used, and people ask because, you know, they see Nice Dentistry and they want to know who did it. And I have a local friend who anytime she asks, dare use them, try this. And her response to me is always, why does my work not look like your work and it's from the same place? And I'm like, well, I think you have to take a step back and look in the mirror and say, well, did you give them all the information I give them? Did you give them the photography? Forget about impressions and all that, but do they have a way to understand what you want? And that's not just for labs. I mean, without a good communication, I don't care who my ceramist is, it's not going to be good. Right. But that's the same thing with specialists. I don't get on the phone with my specialist and talk ever. I take my pictures, I put them in Keynote, I write words, I draw lines, and all they have to do is read it, because I can have the same picture on the screen as my orthodontist. And if he doesn't understand what I mean by tip the axial inclination this way, it's useless. But if I draw a line and show him tip the tooth like this, anybody could see that. So there's such a powerful thing with photos and communication. And when it comes to labs, I mean, if you're not doing good photography and good communication, I mean, the frustration is on your end, because who do most dentists blame? You. When the reality is, it's their fault. And I think once you check that ego at the door and realize, you know what? Okay, maybe this impression wasn't bad. I never tell my lab, just go and try. If they tell me they can't see a margin, well, guess what? I have no shame in re-impression. If they need more photos or prep shape, whatever, they get it, because they can't. If they're telling me they can't do it, I have to trust their expertise that, hey, don't wing it. I want perfection and I want it my way, but I also have to be the one who delivers that to them. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. And I think that's why my work from the same lab might look different than someone else's, because of that communication, because of what I give them, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think you're right. Everybody has a certain amount of, you know, like a process or a certain amount of communication they share. But I know from the lab side of things, the right photography, more photography, you know, showing us where you're headed, what you want, you know, what, you know, pre-op, everything is really valuable to know, you know, where you're headed and what it is that you and the patient, you know, desire. I think that's
the
goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And everybody wants something a little bit different. Lab technicians have to adjust to a lot, right? Otherwise, if they don't get it, then they sort of go to their default, right? You know, if they don't get the photos or they don't maybe get a lot of direction on what the end result is, they do their best to just hit it where they think you it'll work, right?
Yeah, but, no, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's really good information. And two, working with your specialists on the team, I think that's a really, you're right, pictures and marking them up and saying, you know, what it is that you want. It's really valuable. I'm sure they love it.
Well, you know, it's funny because I always say when my specialist gets an email from me with a JPEG attachment, they either smile or cry, because then they realize, oh my God, this can't be good because there's arrows, lines. But you know what? You know, as an accredited technician, you start to see things differently that, I'm sorry, the average dentist doesn't see. The average specialist just does not see. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even my orthodontist, my rule is do not remove brackets until I tell you, or you're going to put them back on, because I want the teeth where I want them, both functionally and aesthetically. And they don't have the same training as I do. And not to say that they're not good at what they do. They are. But I want things a certain way, and I'm going to be the final judge of it. Because in the end, when it fails, they're not going back to the orthodontist when teeth start breaking. They're going to come to me.
Yes, they will. Oh, I love it. I love it. So you're so accomplished. You're still young. Just really excited. What are your goals? Where do you see dentistry and you, Adamo, heading? What new frontier are you going to tackle?
Oh, man. Oh. Well, I think I'm going to take a vacation when I'm done with the presidency of AACD, because it's been a long couple of years, as you know. You've been down that road. You know, it's funny, Laura, when you start out and you see all this stuff in front of you, you want it all. And you go after whatever it is that you want. And then when you get there, it's overwhelming, right? And mm-hmm. I think I'm at the point of my career where I want to do my clinical dentistry, not as many hours as I did in the past. I'm not going to be doing 60 hours, 50 hours, 40 hours anymore. I want to do the dentistry that I enjoy, the bigger, the full mouth stuff. And I love to educate. You know, I've been very blessed with what Amanda and I have put together in Charleston. And, you know, I don't want to do, for a while, I was doing private photography courses, any lecture I could grab, like 40 to 50 weeks a year. And I'm tired. I mean, it's a lot on mm-hmm. on the body, the mind, and the soul. And, you know, living out of a suitcase, it looks really glamorous on social media, but it's not. And it's a lot of work. People don't realize mm-hmm. how hard it is to put a lecture together and how hard it is to document every single thing you do for that reason, you know? So I put in my time, not that I'm not going to continue to, but it's kind of nice that I feel like I'm at a point in my career where I can do what I enjoy. I don't have to do everything to figure out what I enjoy anymore.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, you're going to be an incredible president. You are an incredible leader at the AACD. So I'm really looking forward to your year's presidency. And
thank you.
And really, congratulations on everything that you're doing. You're inspiring a lot of people. And I love the creative, artistic, and I mean, I know the quality of dentistry. I've seen what you do. So the, you know, the form, the function, you know, all of that is there. But having this artistic element is just super fun.
Thank you.
Makes dentistry even more exciting, you know, than it already is. And we look forward to it. And I hope that we're able to, you know, you kind of clear your schedule a little bit and we can do some more education with you. I would love to.
I would love that. I enjoy coming out to you guys. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, we would love it. So thank you for your time today. And I hope to speak to you again. I'll see you soon. And when I come to New York, I'll let you know.
I look forward to it. Thank you so
much. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Smiles Matter podcast, created by Microdental and Modern Dental Laboratories. For more information, you can go to our website, www.microdental.com/smilesmatterpodcast. or find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are available. Thank you for listening, because we believe that smiles matter.